Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
If you're taking your seats, please turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. To season, amen. There's a lot of people gone, and we know that this is a time where you gather with families and people travel and all that. It's wonderful to have this time of year. But 'tis the season for Jesus. You'll notice on the screen, one word, what's it say?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's who we're going to look at today. And I pray that we would realize how much we are loved. All that he has done for us, and that he's worthy to be praised. He's truly worthy to be praised. And so today I'd like to celebrate Jesus. Just simply celebrate him. So let's begin our celebration in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Where we are reminded that let this life be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a life that is found in Christ Jesus that can be duplicated, if we can use that word loosely, in our lives. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We could stop and just pause on that verse and meditate on that verse and develop that verse, and we would have a wonderful time together today. That truth is beyond anything that we can imagine. The world today, I read something, I don't know it's true. I don't know how they would even come up with it, but I'll share what I read yesterday. This person said that approximately 4 million times a day, God is blasphemed. His name is dishonored. Today we have an opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Did I mention that it was four million times? 4 million times. 4 million times a day, if that's true. I don't know. In one way or the other. And so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He did not consider it something to hold on to, there being in heaven with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. There was a time, and if we can put it this way, in all of eternity, we know it was approximately 2,000 years ago as far as the earth's time is concerned, that he stepped out of heaven and became man. Now, tomorrow night, during the services at 5 and 7, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, and we'll look at that birth of Jesus. Today, we're just going to simply look at Jesus. Just Jesus. And we know that he came out of heaven for each and every person on this earth. Truly. Goes on, it says in verse 7, but made himself, notice it's his choice, of no reputation. He didn't come with a big army. He didn't come with on a big white horse. He didn't come presenting himself other than in humility, as a child, no less, as an infant, which blows the mind and did blow the mind of people back then and throughout the centuries. Made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, he became a man, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Through the centuries, men and women through the centuries have given their life for purposes, truly given their purposes, given their lives. That's why I never say anything, but I come like Friday night to our basketball game here. And anybody's free to do whatever they want. But when the national anthem comes, I know that I'm at attention and my hand is over my heart because of Barry Manthe, who was found strapped to a tree in Vietnam. Fred Billingham was found brutally murdered in Vietnam. People that I knew that I grew up with, and that is repeated and repeated and has been repeated and repeated through the centuries. People have made a stand. They've made a stand for the freedom that we have. Jesus made a stand for us that we might be free. And today, I just want to say, praise Jesus. Amen? Can we do that? One, two, three. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Truly, he is amazing. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, that brutal thing. People wonder why, Bill, why don't you wear a cross? Why don't you have crosses here in this facility? Well, I'm not against crosses. If you have a cross, praise the Lord. But it's an instrument of cruelty. I know it's symbolic of that which is important and all that. And I'm not trying, don't throw your crosses away because of me, okay? It's okay. It really is, okay? We have it on Easter. We have it up here and that too. So no, I don't want to say that. But it is an image of cruelty, of death. And we as Christians go beyond that and we go, ah, there's life because of that death. Praise the Lord for that. Wait a minute there. I just got distracted. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient. And then verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. Every knee shall bow, Scripture says, and every tongue shall confess whom? Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Because that's who he is. I pray that it will be that we will bow knowing him, and multitudes will bow because of knowing him. But those that don't know him, there's a time, according to Scripture, that they will bow before him. They will bow before him. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And then verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Today, if you can say Jesus is my Lord, it's not because of you. It's because of the working of God in your life. You didn't grow into your faith. You have grown after you have had faith into the truth and the knowledge we find in Scripture, into our love for God in that way. But God brought us to that point where he has worked in our lives and we have surrendered our lives today. Today, this is what I'd like to do. 'Tis the season for Jesus. And so as I was putting together this message, it came to me in the middle of the night. I can honestly say that. How simple. How simple. Today, I would be very encouraged if we fell deeper in love with the Lord. Can we do that? Hopefully we can do that. Number two, I would be greatly, and I pray that we would be greatly encouraged that if we could give him praise from the bottom of our hearts, the bottom of our hearts. If we can fully surrender our lives to him today, just say, Lord, I just surrender. I don't know all this complication. I don't understand all these things, but I know this. You're Lord, and I want to surrender. And then, if these three things can be accomplished, might we go and tell everyone that we know that he loves them and he has a plan for their lives. So how are we going to do this? How will we accomplish this? I believe two ways, and it'll be a brief message. Number one, we're going to talk about who Jesus is. That's it, who Jesus is. It's not going to be anything new to you if you've known Christ. I know if you've been here, we've studied, and we lift up the name of Jesus. With great insight into this by considering, hopefully, how he is revealed through his names, his titles, and his characteristics in Scripture. Listen to those three things again. His names, his titles, and his characteristics. There's over 300 of those in Scripture. That is a great Bible study if you've never done it. And so we're going to go through 349. You guys ready?
we won't do that. We really won't. We'll do that, but second, we're going to recognize 'tis the season for Jesus by recognizing what he has done for all of us and all of mankind, what he's done for us. And so I'm going to go quickly through who Jesus is, and I pray that you would enjoy this and just taking some of these characteristics, these titles, these names. First one I'd like to look at is that he is the beloved Son. He is the Son of God. God the Father said this, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. Jesus. Jesus. May we, as we hear each one of these, just look at that name, Jesus, and give him praise that he is the only begotten Son of God. We see Jesus himself call himself the Son of God. Say you of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blasphemed because I said I am the Son of God. You're angry at me because I said I'm the Son of God, but I cannot deny myself. This is the reality of who I am. Gabriel called him the Son of God. John the Baptist called him the Son of God. The Apostle John called him the Son of God. The disciples called him the Son of God. Nathanael called him the Son of God. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. It's an amazing thing we see in Scripture. The Ethiopian eunuch called him the Son of God. The centurion called him the Son of God. The unclean spirit said this, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, you are the Son of God. Demons know that he is the Son of God. Legion knew that he was the Son of God. Today we are to celebrate simply Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Anybody say praise the Lord? Okay. I'm going to try to wake you up, guys. All right. Kind of stir you up. Not yesterday, but the last Saturday, I had this funeral for a 16-year-old that was murdered in our city. But there, among the 80 people or so that were there, just about everyone was African-American. And so I started my message, and I go, this is not going to work, okay? I know it's a funeral, I know it's a hard time, but this is not going to work. We're going to just pause, and said, you guys love to say praise the Lord, don't you? And all of a sudden, they lit up. You know, yeah, we love to say praise the Lord. Well, I'm giving you permission to say praise the Lord. Is it okay? Her mother's name was Special. And I said, Special, is that okay if they praise the Lord? And she said, yes. And so we just praise the Lord when it seems appropriate. Okay, so can you guys do that? Okay, all right. You can do that, right? Let's try it right now.
Praise the Lord.
There, encourage me. Make me think I'm connecting, you know, in that way. Scripture tells us that Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We're gonna loosen up yet. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word... Praise the Lord. It might be a little too much. No, I'm only kidding. No, have at it. Let's have fun. Jesus. Amazing. Hebrews says, but unto the Son, he said, your throne, O God. I love in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was revealed in the flesh. Who would that be?
Jesus.
He was justified in the spirit. Who would that be?
Jesus.
He was seen of angels. Who would that be?
Jesus.
Okay. He was preached unto the Gentiles. Who would that be? He was believed on in the world. He was received up into glory. Who would that be?
Jesus.
We know him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know I'm weird, but that's okay. I've been so excited about getting to this message because it's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Scripture says Jesus is before all things. For by him were all things created. Not evolution. Jesus, that are in heaven, By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Does that include Donald Trump? It includes everyone. Includes everyone. I'm just joking. I just thought it would be a joke, you know, loosen you up a little bit more, you know. Jesus is the Word of God, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the image of God, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why it's so exciting when we look at these characteristics, these titles, these names of Jesus. It's a reflection. It's an image of our Father in heaven. God, we understand who he is. Scripture says that he is the wisdom of God, Christ the power of God. Jesus is made by God a little lower than the angels. Paul said in Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We know that. We believe that. The incarnation of Christ. We're celebrating during this time of the season the birth of Jesus, God coming and being man. We see that Abraham, Mary, Joseph, and David all referred to him in such a way that he would be seen that he came, and he was positioned by the Father lower than the angels. We know him as the babe, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. The other side of that, he's called the apostle and high priest. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We see that he is mighty in deed and word, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He's known as the servant, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And he definitely is Jesus, that name right there, that person that we lift up above us today, a man of sorrows. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is who we celebrate today. Jesus is our Savior. Praise the Lord. He truly is. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise the Lord. Truly. Is he good? He truly, truly is. We see that he was the lamb that was slain. Revelation 5, chapter 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We know him as the shepherd. That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We know him as the root and offspring of David that speaks to us about the lineage, who he came through to fulfill scripture in that way. We know that he is the branch. Behold the man whose name is the branch. He is the true vine. Jesus said that I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And then he made a radical, statement one day. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. How many believe that today? We believe that. How do we believe that? Just because of the work he's done in our lives. Because Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has been revealed to us who he truly is. He is the light and the bread of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Jesus is the bright and morning star. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and I am the bright and morning star. The rock that follow them, Jesus, is our rock. He's our foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You guys tired yet?
No.
Okay, we haven't got anywhere near to even 100. Long way to go. He is our cornerstone. I love this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I am in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. We shall not be confounded if we believe on him. Some other descriptions, just very quickly, listen to them, please. He's the offerer. And he's the sacrifice, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He's a ransom. In Mark it says, for unto the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He is known as our high priest, and that is Jesus Christ, the mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is our intercessor. Today he is there interceding on our behalf. He's our advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write I to you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. None of us are perfect. Anybody notice that recently? None of us. Look at your spouse. They're not perfect, are they? I thought I'd get some response from that. Yeah, who would dare? Yeah. That's a good one. That was David. David pointed that out, you know, sitting right next to Carol right there. A wise man. A wise man. He's our advocate. We saw that. He's faithful. He's a true witness. He's the firstborn from the dead. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Who has preeminence?
Jesus.
Jesus. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Revelation 17:24 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. All these leaders that think there's something upon this earth, they will bow their knee to Jesus Christ, not putting anybody down, but sometimes they seem so arrogant. They think that they're so powerful. They have nothing other than what's been allowed by God. We understand that, right? Yes. We understand the true battle. We back ourselves up. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what's going on. We understand that. They may not, so we need to pray for them. And so we've looked at who Jesus is, but just for a moment, just briefly, what Jesus has done for us. I could go on and on and on. There's a word, imputation. Fancy word, it means to ascribe or attribute a crime to another. Our crime and crimes have been given, put upon Jesus. This is known as an accounting principle. To understand it, we understand that there's debits and there's credits. There's a debit where Adam's sin was imputed to the entire human race. All of sin, Adam's sin, was put on all of the human race, passed down from person individually to person. But then there was a credit. A credit's a good thing. The sin of the human race was imputed by the Father to the Son. And so the Father, in his wisdom, put all those sins upon. Jesus didn't become sin, but he took on all of our sins. And then there was another credit. The righteousness of God is imputed to the believers. So in other words, we're ahead of the game. Anybody say praise the Lord?
Praise
we're ahead of the game. Substitution. Listen to the definition. One that takes the place of another, a replacement in the place of. Dwight Pentecost put it this way. God, therefore, can receive the one who does no more than believe because his sin was borne by a substitute, capital S, and his indebtedness was paid by another, capital A. Praise the Lord. Jesus. 'Tis the reason for the season. Jesus. Truly. Listen to the necessary steps for substitution. Christ incarnation among men, the virgin birth. Christ identification with men, he became the high priest. Christ separation from men, he was sin free. Christ's substitute for man. He died in place of the sinner. Just as we listen to all these things, can we just fall deeper in love with him? Can we thank him? Christ's death provided redemption from sin. The act of redeeming means to recover ownership of by paying a specified sum. It's a ransom. It's a rescue. Literally means, listen very closely, please, to purchase out of the marketplace. You and I have been purchased out of the marketplace, meaning Christ's death not only paid the price for sin, but also removed us from the marketplace of sin. We don't have to go shopping there. Isn't that great? How many are finished with their shopping? Huh? How many still have to go out? You guys, I love you. I don't do it until Christmas Eve day, okay? So that's when I do it. There's less people out there, and the deals are there. And sometimes you don't find what you want to find, but that's okay. It's just for buying anyway. Just kidding. You guys know I was kidding, didn't you? Yeah. She does, I think. To purchase out of the marketplace. No shopping there anymore. We don't need to. He's done it all. Jesus. Look at it. Jesus. Christ. Death affected reconciliation. It means to change. Reconciliation by the death of Christ means that man's state of alienation from God has changed so that he is now able to be saved. Christ's death provides propitiation. What a big word. It is to appease or to satisfy God. Because Christ has died, God is satisfied. Totally satisfied. Christ's death judged the sin nature. The death of Christ had an important benefit for us in making inoperative the reigning power of our sin nature. There's the power there. Yes, there's a struggle. Scripture doesn't teach that there's not a struggle. But the Scripture teaches the reality that it's inoperative if we walk in that truth and it becomes ours in a very special way. Christ's death brought the end of the law for believers. He fulfilled the law. Christ's death is the ground for the believers, cleansing from sin. And Christ's death is the basis for the removal of pre-cross sins. Wow. I mean, even the sins, Lord, that I committed before I knew the Lord. I had lunch with someone yesterday, and he's a pastor, and he accepted the Lord at age 7. I didn't accept the Lord until 27. And so when I was listening to him, I was thinking 20 years of yuck. Well, probably less than that. I was still kind of just a child. But, you know, all the yuck that could have been replaced with goodness, if only I had humbled myself before the Lord in that way. Removal of pre-cross sins. In other words, yes, it's all taken care of for all of mankind in a very special way, but for us. Christ's death is the basis for the judgment of Satan and his demons. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. That's Christ that is in us in that way. And so today, you guys enjoyed the message?
Yes.
Less than 30 minutes. What do you think? Yeah. So thankful for that. Who said that? You're new to this fellowship, ushers. Praise the Lord. Simple message. Today, again, the purpose of my message was very simple, that we might simply celebrate Jesus. As I said, my desire was that we might, number one, fall deeper in love with him. I pray that has taken place, that we just love him and we celebrate him. Another purpose, to give him praise from the bottom of our hearts. Can we say praise the Lord from the bottom of our hearts? Praise the Lord. Truly, from the bottom of our hearts. Now, did somebody say something wise back there, or just you were late with the praise of the Lord? Next, might we fully surrender our lives to him? As we close in worship, may we just concentrate on that name and just come and say, Lord, I surrender.
I don't know what all that means. I can't manufacture that I'm 100% surrendered. But who I am and all that I do, I come in worship and just present myself to you. And I surrender. And now, if all of this is true, may we go and tell everyone we know that Jesus loves them. May we tell everyone tomorrow when we sit down, or Tuesday when we sit down and we're with family, as I've said probably every year that we've been here, I imagine, before you open those presents and have that fun and that joy, open the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 2 and read the story of all stories, that God became one of us and that we can be set free from all of our sins. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together and let's worship him through song. Father, thank you so much for the simplicity of a message of who you are and all that you've done for us. There's so much more of who you are, and there's so much more of what you've done than what we spoke of today, but we just want to come and say thank you. Lord, draw us by your Spirit nigh unto you. Draw us by your Spirit deeper into your Word, where we will be set free. Lord, draw us each and every day, that we might put our nose in the book and our knees upon the ground. Just love you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you adoration.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.